year is flying by. And I am glad to be a part of God's plan. Going through a lot this year, and I'm glad for God's confirmation. I was telling Brother Jess, I was praying one day this last week, and I said, Lord, I just need confirmation. God, I know you're here. I said, I just need you to show me. And in 3 minutes, I got a text message that said, God is with you. And I was like, okay, God, thank you for confirming. You know, I'm in my feelings. You know, I'm all teary-eyed and frustrated and irritated. And in 3 minutes from asking the Lord, God, I just need you to show me. I know you are, but just show me. And I got a text message in 3 minutes saying, God is with you. And I was like, okay, that's all I needed. And now we can move on. Last week, for those of you who are not normally in Sundays, looks like I have normal faces here, but it's kind of relaxed. Everybody take a deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out. This is Sunday school. Let's have a good time. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. But I may ask y'all some questions. But I just want us to have a good time in Sunday school. And I want us to learn. This is about learning. We're going to get to hear the preaching of the word here shortly. But here, let's just talk about teaching. And so, last week, we got into forgiveness. And I wanted to divide this lesson into two lessons. Last week's was the power of forgiveness. The power that you have to forgive. And what comes with forgiveness. The strength that comes with forgiveness. The release that comes with forgiveness. Sister Alice, if I take the mic away from my mouth, just say, hey, can't hear you. Because sometimes it gets heavy and it starts like falling away from my mouth. So anyway, but I need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness in our lives. The sinner needs forgiveness, but we forget the saint needs forgiveness too. Right? And so last week we talked about the power of forgiveness and the consequences. Webster's defined the consequences or consequence. It's that which follows any form of act, cause, principle, or series of actions. It's an event or effect produced by some preceding or cause or act. And it's the result thereof. So basically, whatever you do, you're going to get. Whatever you've done, there's an equal and opposite reaction of what's going to happen. I teach my girls all the time, you do good things are going to come. You do bad things are going to come. Right? People don't like to get in trouble. I never like to get in trouble. But if you do bad things, then there's probably a whipping coming down the road. Forgiving comes from the Greek word. And if I can say this right, charadizome, meaning to grant as a favor or gratuitously in kindness, pardon, or rescue, to deliver, to give, or to grant. Now, forgive comes from the Greek word aphame, meaning to send forth, forsake, lay aside, leave, omit, put away, or yield up. And so these are just a few definitions that I wanted to get into. But everybody ultimately needs forgiveness. I've had the Holy Ghost now for I can't say, probably since I came back. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 9. But after high school, I fell away. I found a place that I needed forgiveness for. And so in that time, so I've had the Holy Ghost since I was 9, and I needed forgiveness for it. And then I came back and I consecrated my life to God at about the age of 23. There was a consecration There was a time that I said I can no longer ride on the skirt tail of my mom or my parents, or I've got to get this for myself. And maybe I'm a late bloomer. Maybe we should get that way earlier, but, you know, just some of us just, you know, don't catch on as fast. I'm one of those. So I need forgiveness. And so there's a power in telling somebody that you forgive them and that you actually release that from them. You release it. There's a power there. And so I concluded what I was talking about last week with, what if I don't forgive? And so if I was going to title this today, the title would be The Danger of Unforgiveness. Inherently, we have a danger or a consequence of unforgiveness that comes upon ourselves. And so this hit home this week. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, and it said, I'm going to go to 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father. Now, this is in the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows the teaching. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so this is in that. This is the Lord's teaching. It's red letter in my red letter Bible. So it's the Lord talking. And in verse 14, it says, if you forgive, the Lord telling these guys, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. So it is placed upon my life to forgive. It is upon me. And so from this negative aspect of our study on forgiveness, we are brought face to face with a tremendous power within us. The ability to forgive or not to forgive. Set before us are the consequential losses and damages that we will encounter should we opt not to forgive. Most of our preaching and teaching and studies involves the blessing of forgiving and being forgiveness. And in fairness to the whole truth, it is important for us to understand the effect upon us if we don't forgive. Apparently, we have a choice. According to the Lord, whether we forgive or whether we retain that transgression or debt, and we demand a payment for it or a debt. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it talks about, again, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So a sin is a type of debt. And I don't know about you, but I really want to be out of debt. So, Matthew chapter 18, and this is really where I'm going to be spending a lot of my time. I'll probably go back and forth, but Matthew chapter 18, verses, and I'm going to read this because it's important, but it's a little lengthy, verses 23 through 35. And Jesus, again, talking about the unforgiving servant, right? And this is the Lord telling, he's teaching a parable here. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payments to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, that same man that just had been forgiven his debt, went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, I have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that had that was done. And when his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. So it's important that I forgive. Because not only did that servant was forgiven of his debt, but when he forgave not, his debt came back to haunt him. Y'all follow that? The Lord forgave him. His Lord, little lowercase Lord. His Lord forgave him. His King forgave him his debt. And when he didn't forgive somebody else, his debt came back. It's pretty powerful. And so it's important. Trespasses can be committed against us. Our brethren can be our debtors. Owe us an apology due to maybe sinning against us or because of influences they falsely perceive something that we've done or we falsely perceive something that's been done wrong to us. These things can create a spirit within us, a spirit of resentment, a spirit of distance. I'll get frustrated with you, and so I don't want to have anything to do with you. And then what does that do? That brings distance in a brotherhood, and so. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Brother Josh, I'm probably going to skip some of these for time's sake because I have a lot to go through. So the devil is the accuser of the brethren and can falsely accuse our brethren to us in our imagination. You know that? You can perceive something in your mind that is absolutely not true. And that's why gossip is so dangerous. It's important. It's important for you to understand that I am just as human as Brother Neil. I am. And I'm held to the same standard as Brother Neil. That I forgive him and he forgive me. And so, this lesson deals not with what you have done, but what's been done to you, what you perceive has been done to you. You know, a lot of people say that, and it's been said that it's not strangers that do stuff to me, but it's people that are close to me, Brother Jess. It's people that I have loved at one point that I get. That I get frustrated with or I can perceive that they've done something to me and now animosity has built up and frustration has built up. It's loved ones. It's husbands and wives. It's best friends. It's coworkers. From whatever source, real or imagined, offenses arise, we as Christians have an obligated responsibility to forgive. Albeit, Jesus left discretion in the option whether we would want to forgive or not. And he told us what to expect if we choose not to. God will not forgive our sins if we don't forgive somebody else's theirs. As pointed out, we fail and we need God's forgiveness. And if we choose not to forgive somebody else who's come against us, then God is liable to come back and say, I don't forgive yours. Matthew chapter 6:14 and 15, Brother Josh. already read that. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Mark 11:26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. How about Luke 6:37? Shutting ourselves off from the need of forgiveness places us in an unviable position with serious consequences. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. And a lot of people take this out of context. I'm not going to go in. That's a whole nother teaching. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, you shall be forgiven. Go to 38. Can you do that? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It's good and bad. So if I give good, it'll be measured to me good. But if I don't forgive, it's going to be measured right back to me of unforgiveness. So our own sins are retained. We obtain release from our faults in Galatians 6:1. Do I have it up there? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If I see Brother Weaver fall, or Brother Weaver sees me fall, then I am obligated in the spirit of meekness to go and restore him. Not to talk about him, not to be like, you never guess what Brother Weaver did. He rode that motorcycle without permission. Right? Instead of talking about him, I go privately. I'm not going to put him to public shame. I'm going to go privately and say, hey, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. Let's do this together. I'll pick a day and I'll fast with you, Brother Weaver. What day? How can I help you? Brother Neil, I need you to do that for me. If you see me fall, I need you to come up to me and say, hey, brother, come talk to me. Let's reason together. Because I want to see you make it to heaven as much as I want to make it to heaven. So, as great and powerful as God is, we can block God's forgiveness. It's my choice. Point to yourself and say, it's my choice. My choice. I can block the forgiveness of God because of me. I don't want to do that. He desires us to be free from bondage and sin and judgment. However, we can tie the hands of God. We can prevent him from doing what he wants to do in our life, all because of bitterness, all because of unforgiveness. Forgiving others frees God to forgive us. Think about it. Our prayers are affected. Jesus' model prayer in Matthew that I kind of went through is an exemplary pattern for us to follow. And it involves both praying and forgiveness and then offering forgiveness. He also taught us to pray, believe, and forgive if we have anything against anyone. Could it be that our faith is hindered or destroyed and our prayers go unanswered simply because we fail to forgive? Absolutely. If I fail to forgive, that's why how many times he says, if you bring your offering and you have aught against your brother, leave your offering and go. Make it right. And then come back. Right? Relationships are destroyed when brethren have had anything between them, or when one has trespassed against the other. They usually break fellowship with one another unless forgiveness comes into play. Such a condition would reveal that we are not walking in the light, and thus we, says Stimmy, cleansing from our sins. 1 John 1:7, Brother Josh. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's if I'm walking in the light. But if I fall into a place of unforgiveness, then I step outside of that light. And if I step outside of that light, then I break that fellowship with my brother and with God. Husbands and wives, along with other family members, become alienated when they fail to forgive what another may say or do to them. Husbands and wives. It's a big thing in the church. Divorce is heavy right now in the church. I had no idea. My divorce is final. Waiting on the judge to sign. But I had no idea how many families struggle in the church. Not this church, the church, God's body. How many wives and husbands are struggling because of unforgiveness? Your marriage relies on forgiveness. But not just your physical marriage with your spouse, your marriage with God. And I've come to a place that I forgive my wife. I forgave her from the very first moment. Relationships are destroyed because of failed forgiveness. An unforgiving spirit always carries with it the consequences of a broken relationship. Leaders towards leaders, ministers towards ministers, saints towards saints, saints towards sinners must manifest a forgiving spirit, or fellowship and relationships will be destroyed. When we watch a sinner walk through the back door, we must immediately have a forgiving spirit. No matter what they've done, I've probably done just as bad. And I needed somebody to forgive me. The result of this, of a unforgiving spirit, will be a hatred of the brethren, which God will judge as murder, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, Brother Josh. And he saith, he is in the light and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Go to 10. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Go to 1 John chapter 3, 14 through 18. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's important. There's a whole bunch of studies. I encourage you to go to Ephesians, Colossians, Luke, Matthew, for time's sake, because I still have quite a bit to go through. You can refer back to those scriptures. We defile the temple of the Holy Ghost when we fail to forgive. When we fail to forgive another, we create within our own heart a mind evil We create in our own heart and mind evil thoughts towards that person. How is that absolutely true? When I find somebody that has done something against me, our first reaction as a human, as flesh, is to go throw up a wall. Can't believe that guy. You believe that guy? You believe John? Believe what he did to me? And that is the very first building block of separation. And so then we create in our hearts. This is in our hearts and in our minds. Then we'd be like, okay, I'll pray for you. I'll pray your tire goes flat while you're going down the road. I pray your brakes fail when you're going down the hill. I'm being transparent. I have thought those thoughts. Right? And we dwell upon that, and it begins to grow. I don't know how many people in the last 6 months that I've heard, I wish my ex would die. I don't wish that. Have I had that thought? I had to go to prayer about it. I had to have God work on me about it. Not that I wish death, but that's a thought in your flesh that comes up. I wish something bad would happen to if they don't reconcile with me, if they don't want to forgive me, and I don't want to forgive them, then I hope something bad happens to them. And then you have to turn around and you have to suppress that thought and go, no, not today, devil. I forgive them. And I love them. And I pray that they get the Holy Ghost. The conversation has come up with my girls. And I said, I pray Mama gets the Holy Ghost and the person she with gets the Holy Ghost. They looked at me and they said, Daddy, why do you pray that? I said, because they would be in church. And then I wouldn't have to worry about what church you are going to when you're not with me. And they were like, but she would still be with him. And I said, yeah, she would be. But if they get the Holy Ghost, then the Lord can work on them. And ultimately, the goal is heaven. I don't care about the rest of it. I want her to make it to heaven. I want him to make it to heaven. I want us to make it to heaven. And that's where my heart is. But if I fail to forgive, how much more does that come upon me? Do I have a promise of heaven? Not if I don't forgive. So we create in our hearts evil thoughts and minds towards people. And if you let that simmer, I'm just going to let you know, it's going to build up. It's going to build up. And the more you think on it, the more you want it to happen. And that's why there's a whole lot of husbands in jail right now. A whole lot of wives in jail right now. Because they let it fester instead of giving it to God and go, you know what? It's God's. It's not me. So along with this, we become bitter. It's festered. We can become vengeful. We can become angry and hateful to one another. Usually this leads to the speaking of evil of one another, and thus placing an undesirable position with God and man. Grudges develop from these situations, and we live miserably. Disquieted, defiled lives. God wants us to let go of grudges, according to James 5:9, Brother Josh, and put off and away from ourselves every defiling spirit and attitude. Our hearts are affected. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, Brother Josh. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Where do you think this comes from? This comes from the church having an unforgiving spirit within each other. 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, and of mind, meekness, excuse me, long-suffering, hadn't had breakfast this morning, my stomach telling me about it, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. We just talked about this. It's crazy how this ties into the fruit of the Spirit. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Next. And let the peace of God, there it is. Here right now, above everything else, I just want to live in peace. And if I don't have the peace of God, then I don't have peace. Let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Our hearts are affected by an unforgiving spirit, for it is our hearts that we must forgive. Matthew 18:35. And failure to do so will cause our hearts to be filled and defile us. Did I put Matthew 18:35 up there? Sorry, I might have skipped that one. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Mark 7:20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Go to 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Next. Thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. Matthew 18, God recalls the original debt. Jesus depicted a person as having been forgiven, in the scriptures that I read at the very beginning, 10,000 talents. That was a very great magnitude of a debt that could never really be paid. But out of compassion, the creditor forgave that person of the entire debt. He didn't say, all right, I'm just going to forgive you half. The very beginning, the Lord said, I forgive it all. And then that same person went out and found the other person who owed him 100 pence, a very insignificant amount compared to what he owed. And when asked by the debtor for patience without a forgiving spirit, his own creditor then demanded payment for the original debt. That's amazing. He traded such a small thing for such a large debt. How is it for us that somebody did something, in reality, it's probably insignificant. Did it hurt us? Yes. Did it frustrate us? Yes. But it's not worth missing heaven over. It's not worth missing the debt that I owed. I mean, what did Apostle Paul say? He said that he was the greatest debtor. He was the greatest sinner. If there was a sin to be done, Paul did it. But to miss heaven over something so insignificant. Could it be that if Christians who have been forgiven so much fail to forgive others, how quickly God would recall my sin? And I serve a God that says he's cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Don't question God whether, and I feel this, Well, if it's in the sea of forgetfulness, how can he pull it back? How can I not forget? If he casts my sin into the sea of forgetfulness, then how much more should I cast something that's so insignificant away from me? Our only hope of salvation in the end, and the enjoyment and the bliss of heaven, hinges entirely upon our spirit of forgiveness. There's no other option available that carries the important and responsibility as that of forgiving others. I could have the Holy Ghost. I could have been baptized in Jesus' name. But if I fail to forgive, I'm still not making heaven. Think about that. No doubt many other things occur to us when we fail to forgive. And you can list them as they come to mind, to your own mind. The one we have present here should provide enough attention for us to seek God until we can find it in our hearts to forgive. This should shed enough light on us that go, have I forgiven like I'm supposed to forgive? God's word and history are replete with those who have struggled with sin and the sin problem. Some won, some lost, only to be the poorer for it. So in the end, who's the real winner? Those who win the battle and choose to forgive, again, it's our option, become richer for their forgiveness now and in eternity. We as Christians within ourselves have a spiritual resources to forgive any trespass against any of us. It doesn't matter what it's been. We also have the power to withhold it as well. We must remember that our withholding forgiveness against another does not cause God to withhold it from them. Think about that. I'm gonna phrase it again. If I fail to forgive Sister Kristen for something that she's done to me, does not mean that God hasn't already forgiven her because she's asked for forgiveness. God's forgiven her of that debt. I'm just using you as an example. God has forgiven her of that debt. Do I know that? I should. But if I haven't forgiven her, then who's at fault? God's forgiven her. But have I? So then God is holding me responsible to forgive. They can find pardon from God while we hold things in our hearts to our own hurt and our own destruction. I'm destroying myself if I fail to forgive her, because God's already forgiven her. We must remember, the most important thing is to make heaven. Those who err and trespass and create quarrels should ask forgiveness of those whom they would wound or who they may have wounded or hurt. When we sin, we must repent or we will be lost. However, some people, for whatever reason, never ask for forgiveness. Does this give us a license to hold a grudge? If they never come and ask forgiveness from you, they never do it, does it give you a license to not forgive? Thank you. It does not. You can talk. Thank you for listening, but it doesn't. It doesn't give me a license, Brother Weaver, to hold a sin against you if you never ask for forgiveness. I forgive you. My papa used to tell me, be quick to repent and quick to forgive. And that's something that I've held true to my entire life. I very quickly try to forgive and I try to repent. If something quickens in me and I did something wrong, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Right? Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Otherwise, it will fester. It will blister. It will be a sore. It will be a thorn. It will be an irritation. And it won't go away. You can put it on the back burner if you want, but it's always going to be on the back burner. If you leave it there too long, it's going to burn. It's going to scorch. And you're going to know it. Don't let it burn your house down. Don't let it burn your spirit up because you forgot to handle it. So it doesn't give us a license or an ill will. God's principle and truth teaches us to forgive, period. Regardless of whether the errings of one ever repents or not, we must forgive them or else suffer even the seven consequences pointed out. I implore you and beseech you by the one who gives all mercies to have mercy on people. A few examples, and I'm not going to go into it because of time's sake, but a few examples of those who forgave was Joseph. Joseph forgave his brothers. He might have had a little fun when they came to him. And I say fun loosely. But he forgave. The Lord forgave while hanging on a cross. How about Stephen? Stephen forgave even in the midst of being stoned. He said, "Hold not this sin to their charge." In the middle of people throwing rocks at him, he said, "Don't hold it against them, God." Can you do that? Better yet, can I do that? Somebody trying to kill me, and in the midst of them murdering me, I say, "Don't hold this sin to their charge." That's powerful. There's many others in the Bible, along with saints, that have had a spirit of forgiveness. But there's also some that didn't forgive. I'm going to move through those pretty quick here too. There's an aftermath that always follows an unforgiving spirit. Cain. Cain didn't forgive. And he was marked for the rest of his life. The Lord told him, "Don't if you do what's right, isn't there grace? But if not, sin lieth at the door." Giving you the option. And he still killed his brother over jealousy. And then from that point on, he was marked for the rest of his life. "Oh no, it's too heavy for me." He forgot to forgive. Esau. Here's a big one. Saul. You know, Saul was fired 30 years before he was actually fired. God fired Saul for 30 years, but still made him do the job. Saul had a resentment towards David, the one person who helped him. Saul couldn't forgive. There are many examples in the Bible of people who have forgiven and have gone on to lead better lives because of forgiveness, and people who have not forgiven and have suffered miserably because of just the fact of unforgiveness. And so I'm closing. Along with these, Matthew, for some reason I have Acts. Let's look at this. Real quick. Oh, that was Stephen. That's why I did that. How tragic of those that did not forgive. The thing we must have in our lives as people who love God and are pursuing relationships, deeper relationships with God, is we must have forgiveness. We sometimes withhold it from others when we have the power to give it. And there, the real damage is done not to the person that owes the debt, but the real damage is the debtor that fails to forgive. My final saying, forgiveness. What a word. We need it, but to retain it, we must give it. Think about that. I need forgiveness, but if I'm going to hold forgiveness and be able to keep forgiveness, I must also give. Otherwise, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to hold on to resentment. Things are going to fester. I'm going to lose sleep at night. Guess who's not losing sleep at night? The person you're failing to forgive. They probably don't have a thought in their brain that you're holding that resentment. It's you. It's me. If I'm holding resentment against somebody and they probably don't even know it, they probably know there's something wrong. Brother John, I know when you're not talking to me, you know, Brother John's not talking to me, I must have did something, right? But it hurts John. I can go to sleep at night. I'm be like, oh, I don't know what it is, but where's my pillow? There's a danger in not forgiving. Because not only does it hurt you physically, but it'll hurt you spiritually as well. All right. It is 10:45. Let's take a 15-minute break. Thank y'all for being here this morning. Let's take a 15-minute break. Grab some water. Stand up. Shake somebody's hand. Get the blood flowing. We're fisting. Get into worship. Praise the Lord. Everybody doing good? All right. We are dismissed for 15 minutes. Let's go to the bathroom, do what we got to do. Let's get ready for worship. Yeah.